Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of A Shocker on Shock Street by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. First off, I want to start out by giving a shout out to Jay, who was, maybe is, apparently in the hospital. Her friend Sammy contacted me via email at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com, and she was like, yo, give a shout out to my friend in the hospital. I'm like, I'm gonna get on that motherfucker right now, next time I record, which was like a month ago. So, I don't know. Apparently Jay's in the hospital. She has a rare disorder where her butt is a head and her head is a butt, but they're in the wrong places. So she still looks normal, except for her face is a fully functional butt and her butt's a fully functional face. Yeah, science! Where has Dune been for a month? God damn! Well, let's see. I was doing something on some weekend, and then the next one I went to San Jose del Cabo in Mexico with my bro, and we went to an all-inclusive resort. So Cabo got fucked by a hurricane, right? The whole area in Mexico, which is at the tip of Baja, for anyone wondering. And everything's fucked, so it's super cheap right now. So you can go to all-inclusive resorts, which I don't know if you know about me, but I got a problem with alcohol. And it's all you can drink and all you can eat and, like, $5 on room service. And you're just staying in this fucking resort that's on the beach. And it was, I think, $300 for two nights. For just me and my bro went down there. $300 for two nights for all you can eat and all you can drink. I can run up a $300 bar tab, no problem, alone. It was amazing. We went there specifically to go to a swim-up bar, and that was kind of disappointing because it was warm, but it wasn't, like, warm enough that you weren't shivering at a swim-up bar, but it was fantastic. There's just bars all around you to drink. And then the next weekend, I was deep cleaning the house with the girlfriend because her friend was staying here, while the next weekend we went to, or next week we went to New Orleans, the girlfriend and I, and it was fucking fantastic. I went on a swamp boat tour, which was one of the coolest things I've ever done in my entire life, where it's just like a fan boat. That's what I'm trying to talk about. So the bottom's like titanium. You can drive over everything, and there's just alligators fucking everywhere. Like, 12-foot alligators are wild, and it's the time of the year where they're, like, just waking up. So, like, the crazy Cajun guys that are hosting it, which the only people on the fan boat were me, my mom, my dad, and my brother and his wife and my girlfriend, and me and the Cajun dude. And so he's, like, pulling up, like, the foot of, like, a 12-foot alligator. It's like, look at this motherfucker's foot! Except for you couldn't understand him. But it was fucking insane. It was absolutely beautiful. It was one of the coolest things I've ever done. We also went to an alligator ranch. And then we left from staying at my brother's house in Slidell, outside of New Orleans, to actually staying in a hotel in New Orleans, which was Easter weekend. And I just got shit ripped. I saw the fucking Kermit Ruffins play, which is really exciting. I just drank tons. The Sunday, which was Easter, was my girlfriend's birthday. So we were at a beautiful, nice, like a just classy-ass hotel. And there's three parades, including the New Orleans Gay Parade, which, or like gay Easter one. There's tons of gay parades there. It was fantastic. Point is, it was a great experience. And now I'm back home. I had the girlfriend's best friend, who also works with her. They're both tattoo artists in the same shop. She was staying with us, and so I couldn't really get a second or two to record. So now it's Saturday. She left yesterday, and I'm recording. That's what's going on. Whew, that is an intro. That's my longest intro ever. Anyway, the book cover is orange. It has a giant, like, praying mantis looking bug on it, looking all pissed off and shit, holding onto a stoplight, which is apparently a yellow light, and it says Shock Street, because that's, you know, it's a shocker on Shock Street, which means that they, you know, they put two fingers on the street and then one right up the alley, and it says, it's a real dead end, which obviously is referring to the anus where the pinky finger was inserted in. Anyway, I'm Dune. This is Dune Reads Goosebumps. Don't believe any of Giovanni Giorgio's lies about me being just a child's ghost made up of transforming cats. That's untrue. I don't know why this lie keeps on being perpetuated. And I'm about to start this, but I'm going to save it because I just talked a fuckload and I don't want to do it again. Namaste. Chapter number one. It's good to be back, motherfuckers. Yeah. This is creepy, Aaron. My friend Marty grabbed my sleeve. Let go, I whispered. You're hurting me. It's always bad when it starts with a rape. Marty didn't seem to hear. He stared straight ahead into the darkness, gripping my arm. Marty, please, I whispered. I shook my arm free. I was scared too, but I didn't want to admit shit. It was darker than the darkest night. It probably wasn't dark in that, unless they're inside. They might be inside. I probably shouldn't get ahead of myself here. I squinted hard, trying to see. And then, a gray light glowed dimly in front of us. Marty ducked low. Even in the foggy light, I could see the fear in his eyes. So is there foggy light, or is it darker the darkest night? I already don't like you. He grabbed my arm again. His mouth dropped open. I could hear him breathing hard and fast. Even though I was frightened, a smile crossed my face. I liked seeing Marty scared. I really enjoyed it because I'm what some people call a sadist. I know. That's terrible. I admit it. Aaron Wright is a bad person. What kind of friend am I? It was E-R-I-N, Aaron, so I assume it's a girl. So I'll start girling it up. But Marty always bragged that he was braver than me. And he was usually right. He usually is the brave one, and I'm the wimp. But not today, motherfucker. That's why seeing Marty gasp in fright and grab my arm made me smile. The gray light ahead of us slowly grew brighter. I heard crunching sounds on both sides of us. Close behind me, someone coughed, but Marty and I didn't turn around. We kept our eyes straight ahead. Watching, waiting, commiserating. As I squinted into the gray light, a fence came into view. A long wooden fence. Its paint faded and peeling. A hand-lettered sign appeared on the fence. Danger! Keep out! This means you! Marty and I both gasped when we heard the scraping sounds. Soft at first, then louder, like giant claws scraping against the other side of the fence. I tried to swallow, but my mouth suddenly felt dry. Ooh, mine too. I'm having a Steel Reserve malt liquor. I haven't been drinking beer at home because all I did while in Cabo and and fucking New Orleans is just eat and drink. Like, wake up, start drinking, and then get drunk and hungry and be like, fucking, yeah, some sort of fried catfish and top it off with some crawfish and then fuck you guys. Blech. But now, I've been trying to eat healthy and not drinking beer or malt liquor at home. But I was like, I had to record Goosebumps. I haven't for a while, and it'll feel weird if it doesn't taste like Steel Reserve in my mouth, you know? I had the urge to run. Just run as fast as I could. But I couldn't leave Marty there all alone. And besides, if I ran away now, he would never let me forget it. He'd tease me about it forever. So I stayed beside him, listening as the scraping, clawing sounds turned into banging, loud crashes. Was someone trying to break through the fence? We moved quickly along the fence, faster, faster, until the tall, peeling fence pickets became a gray blur. But the sound followed us. Heavy footsteps on the other side of the fence. We stared straight ahead. We were on an empty street, a familiar street. Yes, we had been here before. Maybe it's Shock Street, guys. Probably, You know what I count myself doing after being in fucking Louisiana again for like the fourth time in the last year? I was saying y'all a couple times, and it was very upsetting to me. But I think y'all is better than you guys, which is kind of the California thing, because I can talk to two girls and be like, what are you guys up to? And that fucking makes no sense. I should be like, sup, bitches? That's what I say to women, apparently. I hope my girlfriend doesn't hear this and hit me. Hear that, girl? The pavement was puddled with rainwater. The puddles glowed in the pale light from the street lamps. I took a deep breath. Marty gripped my arm harder. Our mouths gaped open. To our horror, the fence began to shake. The whole street shook. The rain puddles splashed against the curb. The footsteps thundered closer. Marty! I gasped in a choked whisper. Before I could say another word, the fence crumbled to the fucking ground, and the monster came bursting out. It had a head like a wolf, snapping jaws of gleaming white teeth, and a body like a giant crab. It swung four huge claws in front of it, clicking them at us as its snout pulled open in a throaty growl. No! Marty and I both let out howls of terror. We jumped to our feet, but there was nowhere to run. So is it a dream, or are they like playing a video game or some shit? We gotta figure this out. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I'm gonna stop this.
Chapter 2, that means chapter poo. Just kidding, poo-poo jokes. Poo-poo jokes. I'm on the second chapter and I'm not above poo-poo jokes.
We stood and stared at the wolf crab crawling toward us.
Please sit down, kids. A voice called out behind us. I can't see the screen. Oh, they're at a fucking movie theater. Oh, that's so crazy.
Shh, someone else whispered. Marty and I glanced at each other. I guess we both felt like jerks. I know I did. We dropped back into our seats and watched the wolf crab scamper across the street, chasing after a little boy on a tricycle.
What's your problem, Aaron? Marty whispered, shaking his head. It's only a movie. Why'd you scream like that?
You scream too, motherfucker, I replied sharply.
I only screamed because you screamed, he insisted.
That was the awkwardness when I went to go see Watchmen with Nomad and Holic, and they're relatively thuggish, and there was the rape scene, and the movie theater was packed. It was like opening night and just solid people, and I'm sitting next to Holic, and the rape scene happens and he busts out laughing. And I'm, like, so horrified that the movie theater is silent at a rape scene that I'm just laughing at him laughing. And then my other buddy starts laughing, and I just realize the theater is quiet, and there's just three assholes hysterically laughing at a rape scene. Not good. Not good. Anyway,
shh, someone pleaded, as they probably did at us.
I sank low in the seat. I heard crunching sounds all around me. People eating popped corn. Someone behind me coughed. On the screen, the wolf crab reached out its big red claws and grabbed the kid on the trike.
Snap, snap, goodbye, bitch.
Some people in the theater laughed, like Holic.
Come here, Mimi. Why are you crawling around on that?
Anyway, it was pretty funny. That was the great thing about the shocker on Shock Street movies. They make you scream and laugh at the same time. Marty and I sat back and enjoyed the rest of the movie. Damn it, I wish when it said they make you scream and laugh at the same time, my brain was quick enough to be like, Cosby joke! But that didn't work out, so we're gonna keep moving on. We love scary movies, but the Shock Street films are our favorites. In the end, the police caught the wolf crab. They boiled him in a big pot of water. Then they served steamed crab to the whole town. Everyone sat around, dipping him in butter sauce. They all said he was delicious. It was the perfect ending for retarded people. Marty and I clapped and cheered.
Yay!
Marty put two fingers in his mouth, whistled through his teeth the way he always does, then shoved them right in me. We had just seen Shocker on Shock Street 6, and it was definitely the best in the series. The theater lights came on. We turned up the aisle and started to make our way through the crowd. By the way, speaking of high-numbered movie series, do you people watch the Fast and Furious movies? I saw the first one in school. Like, I was in high school. I don't know when it came out, but it played it in class in high school. Like, it was like, we're done with tests for the semester. Let's fucking watch this bullshit. And it was terrible. And I don't get it, and I didn't see any other ones except for one, like, half of one that, like, a Corolla commentary was on. But I don't get it, but I don't like action movies. Like, I love comics, but I don't really care for comic movies. As I just talked about Watchmen, which I didn't really care for. And I was like, Avengers is good, but I don't really care for that either. Like, I don't like action movies, so is it just not for me? I don't get if people, I enjoy them, like, ironically, or if they're into them, or if it's a little bit of both. Oh, whatever. Anyway, the fucking theater lights were on. We turned up the aisle and started to make our way through the crowd. Great special effects, a man told his friend. Special effects, the friend replied. I thought it was all real. They both laughed because they were very boring people. Marty bumped me hard from behind. I think a little went in. He thinks it's funny to try to knock me over. Pretty good movie, he said. I turned back at him. Huh? Pretty good? Well, it wasn't scary enough, he replied. Actually, it was kind of babyish. Shocker 5 was a lot scarier. I rolled my eyes. Marty, you screamed your fucking head off, remember? You jumped out of your seat, you grabbed my arm, and I only did that because I saw how scared you were, he said, grinning. What a liar. Why can't he ever admit that he's scared? He stuck his sneaker out and tripped me. I dodged to the left, stumbled, and bumped hard into a young woman. Hey, look out, idiot, she cried. You twins should be more careful. We're not twins, Marty and I cried in unison. We're not even brother and sister. We're not related in any way, but people always think that Marty and I are twins, probably because we always dress exactly the same. I guess we do look a little alike. We're both 12 years old and we're both pretty short and kind of chubby. Just like everyone nowadays, am I wrong? We both have round faces, short black hair, and blue eyes, and we both have little noses that kind of turn up. It doesn't say so, but like pigs. Just admit you like pigs. We're not twins. We're only friends. I apologized to the woman. When I turned back to Marty, he stuck out his shoe and tripped me again. I stumbled, but quickly caught my balance. Then, I stuck out my shoe and tripped that motherfucker. We kept tripping each other through the long lobby because we have feelings for each other that we can't express yet because we're 12. People are staring at us, but we didn't care. We were laughing too hard and being rude. Do you know the coolest thing about this movie? I asked. No. What? That we're the first kids in the world to see it, I exclaimed. Yeah! Marty and I slapped each other a high five. We had just seen Shocker on Shock Street 6 at a special sneak preview. My dad works with a lot of movie people. Jews. And he got us tickets for it. The others in the theater were all adults. Marty and I were the only kids. Know what else is really cool? I asked. The monsters. All of them. They looked so incredibly real. It didn't look like special effects at all. Marty frowned. Well, I thought the electric eel woman was pretty phony looking. She didn't look like an eel. She looked like a big worm. And that's a Friday reference for you young kids. I laughed. Then why'd you jump out of your seat when she shot a bolt of electricity and fried that gang of teenagers? I didn't jump, Marty insisted. You did, bitch. Did not, idiot. You jumped because it looked so real, I insisted. And I heard you choke when the toxic creep, well, trauma's about to sue, leaped out of the nuclear waste pit. I choked on a milk dud, that's all. You were scared, Marty. Marty McFarty, because it was so real. Hey, what if they are real? Marty exclaimed. What if it isn't special effects? What if they're all, real monsters? Don't be an idiot, I said. We turned the corner into the hall. The wolf crab stood waiting for me there. I didn't even have time to scream. He opened his toothy jaws in a long howl wolf-like wolf stuff. Wow. He opened his toothy jaws in a long wolf howl and grabbed two giant red claws. Motherfucker! This is the last line in the paragraph, and it's one... God. Everyone... Just give me like 2 seconds. This is the last sentence in the chapter, and it's a paragraph of its own, and I've severely fucked it up twice. Let's try it a third time. Cat, stop fighting. I'm gonna blame you two. He opened his toothy jaws in a long wolf howl and wrapped two giant red claws around my waist.
I did it, guys! Oh, fuck. Dune rules! God, I'm good at this. You guys, I did it. I really pulled through on that one. You know, some of you doubted me, but, you know, fuck you. Because I did it. I'm the best around. No one else got that deuce bump sound. God damn it, I'm back to fucking up. I'm gonna edit this out. I hate you guys. Chapter number. Oh, yeah. Chapter number 3. I opened my mouth to scream, but only a squeak came out. What a shitty version of Harlan Ellison. Yeah, look that one up, kids. You'll get it. I heard people laughing. The big claws slid off my waist. Plastic claws. I saw two dark eyes staring out at me from behind the wolf mask. I should have known it was a man in a costume, but I didn't expect him to be standing there. I was surprised, that's all. I blinked at a white flash of light. A man had just taken a picture of the creature. I saw a big red and yellow sign against the wall. See the movie, then play the game on CD-ROM. CD-ROM was before they had DVD drives on computers. They had CDs. Some games would be on numerous CDs if they're huge. And that's how we would play games. We'd play our Curse of Monkey Island. And we'd play our Full Throttle. And then we'd play our, what is that? Star Wars Rogue Squadron? That doesn't sound right. Anyway, point is those are all LucasArts games, because clearly that's what I was into. Sorry if I scared you, the man inside the wolf crab costume said softly. She scares easily, Marty declared. I gave Marty a hard shove, and we hurried away. I turned back to see the creature waving a claw at me. We've got to go upstairs and see my dad, I told Marty. Tell me something I don't know. He thinks he's so funny. Dad's office is upstairs from the theater, on the 29th floor. We jogged to the elevators at the end of the hall and took one up. Dad has a really cool job, unlike Dune. Oh, dear God, what am I doing with my life? How do I fucking get money? I'm like 28. I'm 28. I don't have any fucking money. I'm trying to, like, be an adult and get married and have kids and shit and continue to fucking record Goosebumps books and get weird all the time. But, like, where do people get money? Can I get some of that shit? Someone hire me. Hey, assholes, you know who I am. I've been very open to all this. Clearly, I work hard. I've put out Goosebumps books for no reason. Someone hire me. Pay me, assholes. Anyway, he builds theme parks, and he designs all kinds of rides. That dude just beats off and plays Roller Coaster Tycoon all day. That's not a real job. Dad was one of the designers of Prehistoric Park. Not to be confused with Jurassic Park. That's the big theme park where you go back to prehistoric times. It has all kinds of neat rides and shows, and dozens of huge dinosaur robots wandering around. And Dad worked on the Fantasy Film Studio Tour. Everyone who comes to Hollywood goes on that tour.
It's just the Universal Tour. That's what they're referencing.
Dad's idea was the part where you walk through a huge movie screen and find yourself in a movie character world and shit. You can star in any kind of movie you want to be in.
I want to star in the movie where you just drink and nap. I think it's called Cocktail.
Anyway, no, that movie, that's not kind of bar I want to be at. Never mind. I kind of just want to go back to Cabo. I know it sounds as if I'm bragging, but my dad is really smart. And he's an engineering genius. He turned a toilet paper tube and an old rubber glove into a woman to make love to. I think he is the world's expert on robots. He can build robots that will do anything. Fucking anything. And he uses them in all his parks and studio tours. Marty and I stepped off the elevator on the 29th floor. We waved to the woman at the front desk. Then we hurried to Dad's office at the end of the hall. It looks more like a playroom than an office. It's a big room, huge really, filled with toys and stuffed cartoon characters, movie posters, and models of monsters, because my dad is a man-child. Marty and I love to roam around the office, staring at all the neat shit. On the walls, Dad has great posters from a dozen different movies. On a long table, he has a model of the Tumbler. Is that just an
angry monster that gets mad at you for acknowledging that differences exist in different racial communities, and that, you know, people that are morbidly obese aren't as attractive as people who put a lot of effort into their physical appearance. Is that what the Tumblr is? Anyway, the upside-down roller coaster he designed. The model has little cars that really screech around the tracks. And he has a lot of cool stuff. From Shock Street. Like one of the original furry paws that Wolf Girl wore in Nightmare on Shock Street. He keeps it in a glass case on the windowsill. On the windowsill? Those UV rays are gonna damage it, idiot dad. Drink some water now. Drink some Steel Reserve. He has models of tram cars and little trains and planes and rockets. Even a big silver plastic blimp. It's radio controlled, and he can make it float around and around his office. What a great place! I always think of Dad's office as the happiest place in the world, because I've never been to an opium den. But today, as Marty and I stepped inside, Dad didn't look too happy. He hunched over his desk, with the telephone to his ear. His head was lowered, his eyes down. He kept a hand pressed against his forehead as he mumbled into the phone. Dad and I don't look alike at all. I'm short and dark. He's tall and thin, and has blonde hair, although there's not much of it left. He's pretty bald. How could anyone ever love him? No offense, Todd Perry. Burn, am I right? Yeah, because I got hair. I'm getting old, and it's not going anywhere. He has the kind of skin that turns red easily like a savage. His cheeks get real pink when he talks. And he wears big, round glasses with dark frames that hide his brown eyes like Rivers Cuomo. Marty and I stopped at the doorway. I didn't think Dad saw us. He stared down at his desk. He had his tie pulled down and his shirt collar open, exposing his stupid Star Trek neck tattoo like Dune has. He muttered for a short while longer. Marty and I crept into the office. Finally, Dad set down the phone. He raised his eyes and saw us. Oh, hi, you two, he said softly. His cheeks turned bright pink. Dad, what's wrong? I asked. He sighed. Then he pulled off his glasses and pinched the bridge of his nose. I have very bad news, Aaron. Very bad news. The fourth chapter of this book. What the fuck am I doing? The fourth chapter, chapter four. Dad, what is it? What? I cried. Then I saw the grin slowly spread across his face. I knew I'd been tricked again. Gotcha, idiot, he declared. His brown eyes flashed gleefully. My brown eye clenched just a little bit. His cheeks were bright pink. Gotcha again. You fall for that gag every time. Dad! I let out an angry cry. Then I rushed up to the desk, wrapped my hands around his neck, and pretended to strangle him. We both collapsed against each other laughing. Marty stood in the doorway, shaking his head. Mr. Wright, that is so lame, he muttered. Kind of fucking kid is telling an adult something's lame. Fucking asshole. Dad struggled to slip his glasses back on. I'm sorry. You kids are just too easy to fool. I couldn't resist. He smiled at me. Actually, I've got good news. Good news? You mean good news for people who like bad news? That's not one of their best albums. Is this another joke? I demanded suspiciously. He shook his head. He picked up something from his desk. Check this out, guys. Do you know what this shit is? He held it in his palm. Marty and I came closer to examine him. It was a little white plastic vehicle with four wheels. Some kind of train car, I guessed. It's a train car, Dad explained. See, people sit on long benches inside it. Here, it's motor driven. He pointed to the front of the model to show where the engine went. But do you know where this tram car will be used? Apparently it's a tram car the whole time and I'm drunk. Dad, we give up. Just tell us, I insisted impatiently. Stop keeping us in suspense. Okay, okay. His cheeks reddened. His smile grew wider. This is a model of the tram that will be used at the Shocker studio tour. My mouth dropped open. Do you mean the tour is finally going to open? I knew that Dad had been working on it for years. Let's finish the steel reserve. God, I love a tall kid. But I'm going to have a cocktail after this. Maybe a shot or two. We'll figure out. Dad nodded. Yes, we're finally about to open it to the public. But before we do, I want you two to test it out. I read one day in Horrorland. I know how this works out. It's not going to go well. Huh? You mean it? I shrieked. I was so excited. I felt as if I'd burst out of my skin. I turned to Marty. He was leaping up and down like he's at a ska show, shooting both fists into the air. Yes, yes, yes! I built this whole tour, Dad said, and I want you two to be the first kids in the world to go on it. I want to know your opinion, what you like and what you don't like. Yes, yes, yes! Marty kept leaping into the air. I thought I might have to tie a rope around his waist and hold on to it to keep him from flying away and shit. Dad, the Shock Street movies are the best, I cried. This is awesome. And then I added, is the tour very scary? God, is this what every other kid's childhood is like? Because a lot of dudes I hang out with just didn't have dad. And mine was a roofer. He wasn't like, son, come here. I'd like to show you these new shingle samples. Come on, little dune. No, didn't go like that at all. Dad rested a hand on my shoulder. I hope so, he replied. I tried to make it as scary and real as I could. You get on the tram and you ride through the whole movie studio. You get to meet all the characters from the horror movies, and then the tram takes you on a slow ride down to Shock Street. The real Shock Street? Marty cried. Do you mean it? You get to ride down the real street where they make the motherfucking movies? Dad nodded. Yes, the real Shock Street. Yes, yes, yes. Marty started pumping his fists in the air again, shouting like a maniac. Awesome, I cried. Totally awesome. I was as excited as Marty. Suddenly, Marty stopped leaping. His expression turned serious. Maybe Aaron shouldn't go, he told my dad. She gets too scared. Huh? I cried. She was so scared during this movie sneak preview, I had to hold her hand, Marty told Dad. What a fucking liar. Give me a break, I cried angrily, like all the kids do in all the Goosebumps books. If anyone was a scaredy cat wimp, it was you, Marty. Dad raised both his hands to signal halt. Calm down, guys, he said softly. No arguing. You have to keep it together. You know, you two will be the only ones on the tour tomorrow. The only ones. Yes, Marty cheered happily. Yes, yes. Wow, that's great, I cried. It's totally great. It's going to be the best. Then I had an idea. Can Mom come too? I bet she would totally enjoy it. Excuse me? Dad squinted at me through his glasses. His whole face turned bright red. What did you say? I asked if Mom could come too, I repeated. Dad kept staring at me for a long time, studying me. Are you feeling okay, Aaron? He asked finally. Yeah, fine, I replied meekly. I suddenly felt very confused and upset. What had I done? Was something wrong with Mom? Why was Dad staring at me like that? Quick side note, while I was in New Orleans last Sunday, I came home on Monday, actually. It's Saturday right now. My company's very small where I work, and there's really only 6 people that work consistently for it, and one of the 6 died while I was gone. And my boss called the guy's brother to be like, hey, what's up with... I'm going to call him Dave, just because I don't know why. His name's not Dave, but I feel like it's more... information. He's trying to call another brother by calling a brother and said, like, hey, oh, by the way, have you heard any other information about what happened to Dave? And he's like, what happened to Dave? And he's like, yeah, your little brother died. He had to give that information. It just seems so uncomfortable and horrible, and I feel so bad for him. Anyway, good times. Goosebumps. I like to just press record and surprise myself that I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm recording. Oh, goddamn, where am I? What's going on? Ah, goddammit, chapter 5! Dad came around the desk and put an arm around my shoulder. I think you and Marty will have a better time if you go by yourselves. He said softly, don't you agree? I nodded. Yeah, I guess. What the fuck happened to her mom? Did he kill her? If so, rad. I still wondered why he was staring at me so suspiciously, but I decided not to ask him. I didn't want him to get angry or something and change his mind about us going on the tour. Do you mean you're not coming with us? Marty asked Dad. We're really going by ourselves? I want you two to go by yourselves. Dad replied, I think that will make it more exciting for you. Marty grinned at me. I hope it's really scary, he declared. Don't worry, Dad replied. A strange smile spread over his face. You won't be disappointed. The next afternoon, a gray haze hung in the air as Dad drove Marty and me to Shocker Studios. I sat up front with Dad, peering out the car window at the smog. It's so gloomy out, I murmured. Yeah, it teaches you to live in L.A., assholes. San Diego, it's like L.A., but it's not L.A., so it's red. That's my story. Perfect for a horror movie tour, Marty chimed in from the back seat. He was so excited he could barely sit still. He kept bouncing his legs up and down like he just snorted crank and tapping his hands on the leather seat. I had never seen Marty so crazed. If he didn't have his seatbelt on to hold him down, he'd probably bounce right out the car. That's what exclamation points do to me. The car climbed up the Hollywood Hills. Look at these celebrities. The narrow road curved past redwood houses and tree-filled yards cut into sides of hills. Sorry. As we climbed, the sky turned even darker. We're driving up into a cloud of fog, I thought. Far in the distance, I could see the Hollywood sign stretching into the haze across a dark peak. Look at the Hollywood sign. That's fucking cool. I seriously hate LA. I don't know why I hate LA. I hate because they just build out. I don't know. So do we, actually, in San Diego. But I don't know. I don't like LA. Sorry. Fucking sucks. Hope it doesn't rain, I muttered, watching the fog roll over the sign. Dad chuckled. You know it never rains in Los Angeles. Which monsters are we going to see? Marty asked, bouncing the seat. Is Chakro on the tour? Do we really get to walk on Shock Street? Dad squinted hard through his glasses, turning the wheel as the road curved and twisted. I'm not telling, he replied. I don't want to spoil it for you. I want it all to be a surprise. I just wanted to know so I could warn Erin, Marty said. I don't want her to get too scared. She might faint or something, he laughed. I got text messages coming in from Giovanni. I'll read them after this chapter. I let out an angry growl. Then I turned around and tried to punch him, but I couldn't reach. Marty leaned forward and messed up my hair with both hands. Get off me! I screamed. I'm warning you. Take it easy, guys, Dad said softly. We're here. See what I was saying about how weird it is in California that we say guys, as in you guys, rather than y'all? Because it is weird to be like, hey, girls, how you guys doing? Like, fucking weird. I turned and stared out the windshield. The road had flattened out. Up ahead, an enormous sign proclaimed Shocker Studios in scary, blood-red letters. We drove slowly up to the huge iron gates in the front. The gates were closed. A guard in a small black booth sat reading a newspaper. I glimpsed gold script letters above the gate. They spelled out one word. Butt stuff. Just kidding, beware.
Dad pulled right up to the gate. The guard peered up. He gave Dad a big smile. Then he pressed a button. The gate slowly swung open. Dad drove the car into the tall white parking garage beside the studio. He parked in the first space next to the entrance. The garage seemed to stretch forever, but I could only see three or four cars inside.
By the way, this book was clearly an excuse for R.L. Stine to take his kids on a trip to Universal Studios, right? Like, this is a tax write-off, yes?
Am I slurring while recording?
We'll see, listeners.
Don't drink, but seriously, drink all the time. It's the raddest thing you can do. When we open next week, this garage will be jammed, Dad said. There will be thousands of people here, I hope. And today we're the only ones, Marty cried excitedly, jumping out of the car.
We're so lucky, I agreed.
A few minutes later, we were standing on the platform outside the main building, facing a wide street, waiting for the tram to take us on the tour. The street led to dozens of white studio buildings spread out all the way down the hall.
Hill. Hill. Not all. Hill.
Dad pointed to two enormous buildings as airplane.
Okay, sorry. I'm gonna take a drink break. I'm drinking a plastic jug fucking Trader Joe's brand vodka with club soda with a little bit of pomegranate juice on top. Hopefully that small sip will make it so my brain works better.
Dad pointed to two enormous buildings as big as airplane hangars. Those are the sound stages, he explained. They film a lot of movie scenes inside those buildings.
Yep. See, drinking solves every problem.
Does the tour go inside them? Marty demanded. Where is Shock Street? Where are the monsters? Are they making a movie now? Can we watch them making it? Whoa! Dad cried. He placed his hands on Marty's shoulders, as if to keep him from flying off the fucking ground. I had never seen Marty so totally wired. Take it easy, fella, Dad warned. You'll blow a fuse. You won't survive the tour. I shook my head. Maybe we should put him on a leash, I told Dad, talking about Asian children. Arf, arf, Marty barked. Then he snapped his teeth at me, trying to bite me. What an asshole. I shivered. The fog rolled in from the hills. The air felt damp and cold. The sky darkened. Two men in business suits came zooming along the street in a golf cart. They were both talking at once. One of them waved to Dad.
I wish my dad knew golf cart people. Not like wall golfing. He golfs a lot. Hey, if any of you assholes say my dad doesn't golf, you're wrong. But point is, riding a golf cart outside of a golf course, that's a fucking rad power move or an old Jew move.
Can we ride in one of those carts? Marty asked. Can Aaron and I each have our own cart?
No way, Dad told him.
You have to take the automated tram. And remember, stay in the tram car, no matter what.
If this was a give yourself goosebumps, we'd have the option to get the fuck out of the tram car.
You mean we can't walk on Shock Street? Marty whined. Dad shook his head. Not allowed. You have to stay in the tram.
He turned to me. I'll be waiting for you here on the platform when you get back. I want a full report. I want to know what you like and what you don't like. And don't worry if things don't work exactly right. There are still a few bugs to work out.
Murderous, deadly bugs.
Ooh, while in New Orleans, they opened a new Museum of Death down there, which started here in San Diego, which I never went to, and then moved to Los Angeles, which I never went to that one, but I went to the new one in the New Orleans. It's fun. I got an Ed Gein shirt because you can wear whatever shirts you want when you're in a relationship and don't want to look like a murderer, or don't care if you look like a murderer, I guess.
Anyway, hey, here comes the tram, Marty cried, hopping up and down and pointing. The tram came rolling silently around the corner. I counted six tram cars at all. They were shaped like roller coaster cars, open on top, only much longer and wider.
like a dick. Oh, that's crazy. The cars were black. Damn it, I should have made the dick joke after I said they were longer, wider, and black, but it doesn't matter. A grinning white skull was painted on the front of the first car. A young, red-haired woman wearing a black uniform was seated on the first bench in the front car. She waved to us as the tram rolled up to the platform. She was the only passenger. She hopped out as the tram stopped. Hi, I'm Linda. I'm your tour guide. She smiled at my dad. Her red hair fluttered in the wind. Hello, Linda, Dad said, smiling back at her. He gently shoved Marty and me forward. Here are your two first victims. Oh no! Victims rather than passengers. Linda laughed and asked us our names. We told her. Can we ride in front? Marty asked eagerly. Yes, of course, Linda replied. You can sit anywhere you want. This whole ride is just for you. All right, Marty cried. He slapped me a high five. I'm going to make the high five sound again. Normally when I clap, I go like with my hands perpendicular. But when I do the high fives for the show, I actually do them so they're actually parallel and completely lining up. So here's the high five sound I give. It's totally different. But if you weren't a big fan, you wouldn't notice. Dad laughed. I think Marty is ready to begin, he told Linda. Linda pushed her red hair out of her face. You can start right away, guys, but first, there's something I have to do. She leaned over the tram car and tugged out a black canvas bag. This will only take a second, guys. She pulled a red plastic gun from the bag. This is a shocker stun ray blaster. She gripped the plastic pistol tightly. It looked like something in a Star Trek movie. Her smile faded. Her green eyes narrowed. Be careful with these blasters, guys. They can freeze a monster in its tracks from 20 feet away. Wait, this is what they based the Toy Story, Buzz Lightyear, Astro Blasters, is that what it's called? Whatever, at Disneyland, there's a ride like this, where they give you guns and you shoot and it takes a picture of you and then you email it yourself and you post it on Facebook and your friends go, let's go to Disneyland, it'll be exciting. Then they go and it's all advertising. Anyway, she handed the blaster to me. Then she reached into her bag to get one for Marty. Don't fire them unless you have to. She swallowed hard and bit her lip. I sure hope you don't have to. I laughed. You're kidding, right? These are just toys, right? She didn't answer. She pulled another blaster from her bag and started to bring it to Marty, but she stumbled over a cord in the platform. Oh! She let out a startled cry as the blaster went off in her hand. A loud buzz, a bright ray of yellow light, and Linda stood frozen on the platform.
Chapter number 6. Linda! Linda! I screamed.
Marty's mouth dropped open. He let out a choked gurgle. I turned to Dad. To my surprise, he was laughing.
Dad, she's frozen, I cried. But when I turned back to Linda, she had a big smile on her face, too.
It took us both a while, but we soon realized the whole thing was a joke. That fucking dad, he's a joker. That's the first shock on the shocker tour, Linda announced, lowering the red blaster. She put a hand on Marty's shoulder. I think I really shocked you, Marty.
No way, bitch, Marty insisted. I knew it was a joke, I was just playing along.
Come on, Marty, I cried, rolling my eyes. You nearly dropped your teeth, like a tweaker.
Aaron, I wasn't scared, Marty insisted sharply. Really, I just went along with the joke. Do you really think I'd fall for a dumb plastic blaster gun?
Marty is such a jerk. Why can't he ever admit when he's scared?
Climb in, you two, Dad urged. Let's get this show on the road. Marty and I climbed into the front seat of the tram. I looked for a seatbelt or safety bar, but there wasn't one. Are you coming with us? I asked Linda. She shook her head. No, you're on your own. The tram moves automatically. She handed Marty his stun blaster. Hope you don't need it.
Yeah, sure, Marty muttered, rolling his eyes. This gun is so babyish. It's like a .22. I'm just going to put it in my mouth and ah! Remember, I'll meet you back here at the end of the ride, Dad said. He waved. Enjoy, I want a full report. Don't get out of the tram, Linda reminded us. Keep your head and arms inside, and don't stand up while the tram is moving. And get ready for the wildest ride in the wilderness. It's a Big Thunder Mountain Railroad reference. She stepped on a blue button on the platform. The tram started up with a jolt. Marty and I were thrown back against the seat. Then the tram rolled smoothly forward. First stop is the Haunted House of Horror, Linda called after us. Good luck. I turned back to see her waving to us. Her long red hair fluttered in the wind. A strong breeze blew against us at the back of... A strong breeze blew against us as the tram made its way down the hill. The sky was nearly as dark as night. Some of the white studio buildings were hidden by the fog. Stupid gun, Marty muttered, rolling it around in his hands. Why do we need this plastic gun? I hope the whole tour isn't this babyish. He uses that a lot. It's a bizarre adjective. I hope you don't complain all afternoon, I told him, frowning. Do you realize how awesome this is? We're going to see all the great creatures from the Shocker movies. Think we'll see Shockro? He asked. Shockro is his favorite. I guess because he's so totally gross. Boys are so gross. They're always farting and having exterior genitalia that's dry. Probably, I replied, my eyes on the low buildings we were passing. They all stood dark and empty. I want to see Wolf Boy and Wolf Girl, Marty said, counting the monsters off on his fingers. And the Piranha People, and Captain Sick, and the Rapey Robber, and the Great Gopher Mutant, and Dune. Wow, look! I cried, pounding his shoulder and pointing. As the tram turned a sharp corner, the Haunted House of Horror loomed darkly in front of us. The roof and its tall stone turrets were hidden by the fog. The rest of the mansion stood gray against the dusky sky. The tram took us nearer. Tall weeds choked the front lawn. The weeds bent and swayed in the wind. The gray shingles on the house were chipped and peeled. Pale green light, dim, eerie light, floated out from the tall window in front. As we rode closer, I could see a rusty iron port swing swinging by itself on a broken, rotting porch. Oh no! It's so haunted and scary that no one's taken care of this porch for a long period of time, and it's just kind of gone downhill. Oh, if only someone cared about this porch. Oh, god damn it! Cool, I exclaimed. It looks a lot smaller than in the movie, Marty grumbled. It's the exact same house, I cried. Then why does it look so much smaller? He demanded. What? A complainer. I turned away from him and studied the haunted house. An iron fence surrounded the place. As we moved around the side, the rusty gate swung open, creaking and squeaking, like that one rusty opening door sound that Dune hears in every movie and hates so much. Creak! They use the same one every goddamn time. Every episode of X-Files. Creak! Look, I pointed to the dark windows in the second floor. The shutters all flew open at once, then bang shut. Flop, pop! Lights came on in the windows. Through the window shades, I could see the silhouettes of skeletons hanging, swinging slowly back and forth. That's kind of cool, Marty said, but not too scary. He raised his plastic gun and pretended to shoot at the skeletons. We heard... Heard? I read circled as heard. I'm gonna drink. We circled the Haunted House of Horrors once. We could hear screams of terror from inside. The shutters banged again and again. The port swing continued to creak back and forth, as if taken by a ghost.
Once again, I'd like to remind everyone that anything you hear about me being a child's ghost made of transforming cats is 100% a lie. It's not true. That's not who I am. I'm a normal human. Are we going back inside or not? Marty demanded impatiently. Sit back and flip some more simplistic pimp shit on Slim Shit and drop limes like... Drop limes? Don't drop limes. I need them for tequila. Sit back and stop complaining, I said sharply. The ride just started. Don't spoil it for me, okay? He stuck his tongue out at me, but he settled back against the seat. We heard a long howl, and then a shrill scream of horror. The tram made its way silently to the back of the house. A gate swung open, and we rolled through it. We moved quickly through the overgrown, weed-choked backyard. The tram picked up speed. Finally, they copped some drugs, am I right? We... I choked myself. We bounced over the lawn, up the back door, and a wooden sign above the door read, Abandon all hope. We're gonna crash right into the door, I thought. I ducked and raised my hands to shield myself, but the door creaked open and we burst inside that bitch. The tram slowed. I lowered my hands and sat up. We were in a dark, dust-covered kitchen. An invisible ghost crackled an evil laugh. Battered pots and pans covered the wall as we passed. They clattered to the floor. The oven door opened and closed by itself. Ah, it can cook things. That sounds very convenient. The teapot on the stove started to whistle. That's maybe what it sounded like, possibly. Dishes on the shelves rattled. The crackling grew louder. This is pretty creepy, I whispered. Oh, thrills and chills, Marty replied sarcastically like a total douche. He crossed his arms in front of him. Boring. Marty, give me a fucking break. I shoved him away. You can be a bad sport if you want, but don't ruin it for me. That seemed to get to him. He muttered, sorry, and scooted back next to me. The tram moved out of the dark kitchen into an even darker hallway. Paintings of goblins and ugly creatures hung on the hallway walls. As we approached a closet door, it sprang open, and a shrieking skeleton popped out in front of us, its jaws open, its arms jutting out to grab us. That's the sound a skeleton makes when it doesn't have vocal cords anymore. That's it. Sorry. Sorry to disappoint you, but if you ever encounter a skeleton that's about to spring out of a closet door, that's what's going on. That's the sound it makes. I screamed. Marty laughed. The skeleton snapped back into the closet. The tram turned a corner. I saw a flickering light up ahead. Someone was probably smoking pot, huh? 420! We rode into a large, round room. It's the living room, I whispered to Marty. I raised my eyes to the flickering light and saw a chandelier above our heads with a dozen burning candles. The tram stopped beneath it. The chandelier began to shake. Then, with a hiss, the candles all flickered at once. The room plunged into darkness. Then, a deep laugh echoed all around us. Ha ha ha! I gasped. Welcome to my humble home! A deep voice suddenly boomed. Who is that? I whispered to Marty. Where's it coming from? No reply. Hey, Marty. I turned to him. Marty? He was gone. Oh, shit just got real, Goosebumps. Oh, God, I'm doing that thing where I try to find excuses not to keep recording. Like, I just called my parents. And I was like, well, what are you guys doing? That's fucking cool. Like, there's no reason for that at all. And again, shout out. I don't even know if I said the first time anyway. Shout out to Nina for putting effort into sending me booze that's illegal in America from London. I think London, right? Somewhere in England. I don't know. Anyway,
Chapter number 11.
Marty? My breath caught my throat. I froze, staring into the darkness. Where did he go? I asked myself. He knows we aren't supposed to leave the tram car. Did he climb out? No. If he had, I would have heard him. Marty?
Someone grabbed my arm. I heard a soft laugh. Marty's laugh.
Hey, where are you? I can't see you, I cried.
I can't see you either, he replied.
But I didn't move. I'm still sitting right next to you. Oh, fucking bullshit.
That, R.L. Stein, that was the change of events that happened in this book. He's still there. You just are saying that he slightly moved. Or it's dark. Fuck that.
Fuck all that. Anyway, huh? I reached out and felt the sleeve of his shirt. This is cool, Marty declared. I'm waving my arms, but I can't see a thing. You really can't see me?
No, I replied. I thought.
It's some kind of trick with the lights, he said. Black light or something. Some kind of neat movie special effects.
Well, it creeped me out, I confessed. I really thought you disappeared.
So did the listeners and the readers, okay?
You can't just claim someone's gone and they're right next to you. Why wouldn't you put your arm out?
Sucker, he sneered, and then we both jumped. A fire suddenly blazed in a big brick fireplace. Bright orange light filled the room. A big black armchair spun around to reveal a grinning skeleton. The skeleton raised its bony yellow head. The jaws moved. I hope you like my house.
Its voice boomed.
Because you'll never leave.
Pretty sure Goosebumps has said that a couple times.
It tossed back its head and let out an evil crackle. The tram jolted to a start. We rumbled out of the living room into a long, dark hallway. The skeleton's laugh followed us into the hall. I fell back against the seat as we picked up speed. We whirred around the corner. Down another long hall, so dark I couldn't see the walls. Faster. Faster. Slower. Faster. We whipped around another corner, made another sharp turn. We were climbing now, and then we took a sharp dip that made both of us throw up our hands and scream. Around another sharp turn, up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, up, 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 and then we came crashing down. A wild roller coaster ride into darkness. It was fucking awesome. Even better, because we didn't expect it. Marty and I screamed our heads off. We bumped hard against each other as the tram whirled around in the black halls of the haunted house of horrors. Up, up, up again. Then we tilted sharply down. I hung on to the front of the car for dear life. I gripped it so hard both hands ached. There was no seatbelt and no safety bar.
What if we tumbled out? I wondered.
The car tilted sharply sideways, as if reading my frightened thoughts. I let out a shriek and lost my grip. I slid against the side of the car. Marty fell on top of me. We made vigorous love. I frantically reached out for something to hold on to and only could find his wrecked junk. The car tilted back right side up. I took a deep breath, slid back into place on the long seat and pretend we never made love. Whoa, that was excellent, Marty cried, laughing. Excellent! I gripped the front of the car. I took another deep breath and held it. I was trying to slow my racing heart. A door swung open in front of us and we burst through it. The car bounced hard. I saw trees, the gray fogged sky. We were back outside racing through the backyard. Both of us were tossed from side to side as we roared over the weeds, zigzagging through the dark trees. Whoa, stop! I choked out. I couldn't catch my breath. The wind blew hard against my face. The tram clattered and squealed as we bumped over the rough ground. We were out of control. Something had definitely gone wrong with the tram, bouncing hard on the plastic seat, holding on tightly. I searched for someone who could help us, no one in sight. We bumped onto the road. The tram started to slow.
I turned to Marty. His hair was blown over his face, his mouth hung open, his eyes rolled around in his head. He was totally dazed and possibly confused. We'll never know. The tram slowed, until we were creeping smoothly along. That was great, Marty declared, and he also declared that Dune should have some water. He smoothed back his hair with both hands and grinned at me. I knew he had been scared too, but he was pretending that he enjoyed the crazy, wild, cuckoo bananas ride. Yeah, great, I tried to pretend too, but my voice came out weak and shaky. I'm going to tell your dad that the roller coaster ride through the hall was the best, Marty declared. It was kind of fun, I agreed, and kind of scary. Marty turned away from me. Hey, where are we? The tram had come to a stop. I pulled myself up and peered around. We had parked between two rows of tall evergreen bushes. Bitch, how do you know when the bushes are in and out of season and whether or not they drop their knees? They could just be normal bushes. They might not be evergreen. The bushes were slender, shaped like spears reaching up to the sky to stab God in the face in defiance. Above us, the afternoon sun was trying to break through the fog. Rays of pale light beamed down from the gray sky. The tall, thin shadows of the bushes fell over our tram car. Marty stood up and turned to the back of the tram. "There's nothing around here," he said. "We're in the middle of nowhere. Why do we stop?" "Do you think..." I started, but I stopped talking when I saw the bush move. I wiggled. Then the bush next to it wiggled too. "Marty," I whispered, tugging his sleeve. I saw two glowing red circles behind the bush. Two glowing red eyes. Oh, they're probably stoned as hell. Heck of 420, taking rips out of graphics bones. "Marty, there's something there." Another pair of eyes, then another pair of eyes staring out at us from behind the evergreen bushes, and then two dark claws, and then rustling sounds. The bush tilted as a dark figure leaped out, followed by another snarling, growling. I gasped. Too late to run. We were surrounded by ugly creatures, snuffling, wheezing creatures who staggered out from the bushes, reaching out for us. They began to climb onto the tram. Fuck that shit. I'm no longer a tram sexual. I don't know what that even meant. Fuck that. God damn it. I was having one of those moments where I'm like, fuck, I need to make more shit. Goosebumps isn't enough, and I don't do another podcast, and right now, you know, consistently, and I don't record any music consistently, and I really want to, I think, do art stuff where the girlfriend draws it and I make it all digitized and whatnot, because I like her and I like the team, and she's my little Yolandi Vesser, you know what I'm saying? Chapter 8. Marty and I jumped to our feet. Ah! I heard Marty let out a frightened moan. I started to back away. I thought maybe I could scramble out the other side of the car, but the snarling, growling monsters came at us from both sides, turning us into Chinese finger traps with a dick in all of our orifices. "Leave us alone," I stammered. A monster covered in tangled brown fur, possibly Dune, opened its jaws to reveal long, jagged rows of yellow teeth. That's not me. I take care of my teeth more than that. His hot breath exploded in my face. They would have pointed out that it smells like Steel Reserve tequila and vodka if it was me. He stepped closer. Then he swiped at me with a fat paw and uttered a menacing roar. "Would you like an autograph?" he growled. I gaped at him, my mouth hanging down to my knees. "Huh? Autographed photo?" he asked. He raised his furry paw again. He held a black and white snapshot in it. "Hey, your ape face," Marty cried, pointing, like he had previously done, mistaking Jay-Z for ape face, totally offensively. The hairy creature nodded his head. He raised the... God damn! Woo! We're good?
He raised the photo to Marty. Want a photo? This is the autographing part of the tour. Yeah, okay, Marty replied. The big ape pulled a marker from behind its ear and bent to sign a photo for Marty. Now that my heartbeat was returning to normal, I began to recognize some of the other creatures. The guy covered in purple slime was the toxic wild man, and I recognized Sweet Sue, the walking, talking baby doll with real hair you can brush. Sweet Sue was really a mutant murderer from Mars. Wow, that is some alliteration. I'm a podcasting poser from the Pacific Rim's east side. It's, you know, right? California is the east side of the Pacific Rim. I'm smart. The frog-faced guy covered from head to toe with purple and brown warts was the Fabulous Frog, also known as the Toadinator. He starred in Pond Scum and Pond Scum 2, two of the scariest movies I'd ever seen. Frog, can I have your autograph? I asked. Gribbit. Gribbit. He croaked and slipped a pen into his wart-covered hand. I leaned forward eagerly and watched him sign his photo. It was hard for him to write. The pen kept slipping in his slimy frog hands. There was a frog and crawfish in the little, like, drainage ditch in front of my brother's house. And I was like, that's fucking cool. Because, like, in my, well, it's cool and it's not cool. Because, like, by my house, there's only river people, which are homeless drug addicts that live, like, you know, 100 yards from me in the San Diego River. But it's not cool for him because he has well water that goes into his drains. And so you take a shower and it just smells like fart. But then again, he has water and I live in California and we got none of that shit. Anyway, Marty and I collected a bunch of autographs. Then, the creatures went snarling and wheezing back into the bushes. When they were gone, we both burst out laughing. That was dumb, I cried. When I saw them creeping out from behind the bushes, I thought I'd have a cow. I glanced down at the photos, but it's kind of cool to get their autographs. Marty made a disgusted face. It's just a bunch of actors in costumes, he sneered. It's for babies. Marty, it's not actors. It's people who want to someday be actors. They're like Emilio. They're never gonna make it. But they look so real, I stammered as Dune drank. It didn't look as if they were wearing costumes, did it? I mean, the Toadinator's hands were really slimy. And Apeface's fur was so real. The masks were awesome. I couldn't tell they were masks. I brushed the hair out of my eyes. How did they get into those costumes? I didn't see any buttons or zippers or anything. Look, bitch, obviously this is the whole plot of the book, that the monsters are real in all the goddamn monster movies, okay? A couple people recently have told me that, goddamn, I really wish that I knew names right off the top of my head, but I have a problem with alcohol. Anyway, a couple people told me recently their favorite part of the podcast is when I make wild accusations as to what will happen next, and sometimes it does come true and sometimes it doesn't, but that's what I've been trying to do more so on these episodes. Anyway, that's because they're movie costumes, Marty explained. They're better than regular costumes, Mr. Know-It-All. The tram started to back out. I settled down into the seat. I watched the two rows of evergreen bushes fade into the distance. Down the long sloping hill, I could see the white studio buildings. I wondered if they were making a move on one of the sound stages. I wondered if the tram would take us to watch the show. I could see two golf carts moving along the road. They were carrying people down to the soundstage buildings. The sun still struggled to shine through the fog. The tram bounced over the grass up the hill. Whoa! I cried out as we turned sharply and headed back toward the trees. Please remain in the car at all times. A woman's voice, who sounded exactly like Dune's, burst from a speaker in the tram car. Your next stop will be the Cave of Living Creeps. The Cave of Living Creeps? Wow! That sounds scary.
Marty exclaimed. Sure does, and what the fuck happened to you? Oh, I'm sorry, I just had a seizure. Okay, we'll ignore it and move on, I agreed. We had no idea just how scary it would be. God damn, I have to get this shit up. I am fucking trying, okay? God damn, get off my goddamn back. I'm just drinking heavily now. It is 5 p.m. exactly. Wow. On April 11th, and the girlfriend will be home soon. I gotta cook some dinner. I'm probably gonna burn myself to death and never finish part two of this. Chapter 9. The tram zigzagged its way through the trees. Their shadows rolled over us like dark ghosts. We moved so silently, I tried to imagine what the ride would be like if the tram was packed with excited kids and adults and possibly a pedophile or two. I decided it would be a lot less scary with a crowd, but I wasn't complaining. Marty and I were really lucky to be the first kids ever to try out this ride. Wow! Marty grabbed my arm as the Cave of the Living Creeps loomed in front of us. The mouth of the cave was as huge as a dark hole cut. It wasn't as... whatever. The cave was a huge dark hole cut in the side of a hill. I could see pale, silvery light flickering past the entrance. The tram slowed down as we approached the dark opening. A sign above the entrance had one word carved roughly into it. The word was... Patreon.com/Dune. Not sure if that's the actual address, but donate to me, motherfuckers. Just kidding. The word was farewell, but seriously, not kidding about giving me some fucking money. God damn, why do I do this? The tram car lurched forward. Hey! I cried out and ducked my head. What a tight squeeze. Into the dim of flickering light, the air instantly grew colder and damp. A sour, earthy smell rose to my nostrils, making me gasp. Bats! Marty whispered. What do you think, Aaron? Think there are bats in here? He leaned closer and let out an evil laugh in my ear. Marty knows that I hate bats. It's okay, I hate snakes. I know. Bats aren't really evil creatures, and they aren't dangerous. Bats eat mosquitoes and other insects, and they don't attack people, or get tangled in your hair, or try to suck your blood. That's only in movies. I know all of that, but I don't give a shit. Bats are ugly and creepy and disgusting, and I hate them. Just like I hate Indian people. Not like, the Indians, but the red dot Indians. I don't get them, and they smell weird. That's not me talking, that's the girl. I'm fine with all peoples. Except the Jews. One day, I told Marty how much I hate bats, and he's been teasing me about it ever since. The tram moved deeper into the cave. The air grew colder. The sour aroma nearly choked me. Look, over there, Marty screamed, a vampire bat. Huh? Where? I couldn't help myself. I cried out in alarm. Of course, it was one of Marty's dumb jokes. He laughed like a maniac. I growled at him and punched him hard in the shoulder. You're not funny. You're just dumb. And you're short and fat and ugly. We established that in the first chapter, okay? Yes, I'm short and fat too, but I'm a girl, okay? I'm eventually gonna get laid and some dude's gonna be into me. Probably black. But they're still going to be into me. You, as a short dude, you're going to have to buy every variation of Fletchlight. Because that's all the variety you're having sexually. Okay? I'm sorry, but you suck. You know? Why don't you, like, take care of yourself and not just be a douchebag? That made him giggle even harder. I'll bet there are bats in this cave, he insisted. You can't go into a deep, dark cave like this one without seeing bats. I turned away from his grinning face and listened hard. I was listening for fluttering bats. I didn't hear any. The cave narrowed. The walls seemed to close in on us. The side of the car scraped against the dirt wall. I could feel that we were heading down. In the dim, silvery light, I saw a long row of pointy icicle-type things hanging down from the ceilings. Those are stalagmites. No, stalactites. Whatever. Fuck you guys. I know they have a name, but I can't remember which one it is. Stalagmites or stalactites? I already said stalactites after I fucked up stalagmites. Okay? Idiot. It's like tights. I'm sorry, I fucked it up. I ducked my head again as the train shot under them. Up close, they looked like pointy elephant tusks.
We're getting closer to the bats, Marty teased. I ignored him. I kept my eyes straight ahead. The cave grew wide. Dark shadows shifted and danced over the walls as we rolled past. Ugh. I uttered a groan as I felt something cold and slimy drop onto the back of my neck. I jerked away and turned sharply to Marty. Cut it out, I snapped. Get your cold hands off of me. Who, me? He wasn't touching me. Both of his hands gripped the front of the car. Then what was on the back of my neck? So cold and wet. Icy.
Sorry, I burped.
What everyone does is stop blaming me. Icy wet. I shuddered. My whole body shook. Marty? I stammered. Help! Marty stared at me, confused. Aaron, what's your problem? The back of my neck, I choked. I could feel the cold, wet thing start to move. I decided not to wait for Marty to help me. I reached back and pulled it off. It felt sticky and cold between my fingers. It slithered and wriggled and dropped. And I dropped it onto the seat. A worm. A huge worm. Long, white worm. So cold, so wet and cold. Weird, Marty exclaimed. He leaned close to examine it as if he was some kind of fucking worm expert. I've never seen a worm that big, and it's white. It can vote. It dropped from the ceiling, I said, watching it wiggle next to me. It's ice cold, huh? Let me touch it. Marty said. He raised his hand and slowly lowered his pointer finger to the worm. His finger poked the worm in its middle, and then Marty opened his mouth in a scream of horror that echoed through the cave.
I'm going to give a quick shout out to the girl that has the same name as my ex-girlfriend, so I don't want to say it because it makes me fucking cringe all over. But shout out to you that lives in my city and has corgi dogs, or maybe doesn't have them but takes care of them. I don't know what you do. You're around dogs a lot, and I appreciate dogs as well. I walked Franklin earlier, and there were two little kids, like little kids, and they're like, hey, sir, can we touch your dog? And I'm like, fuck yeah, he's a sweetheart. And the two little kids pet Franklin for a while, and he was all proud and just happy to have extra attention, and just, god damn, it made my heart warm. Namaste again.
Alright, this is the last chapter because I've gotten to the point where I'm Googling cosmetic dentistry in San Diego in between takes, which means I'm way too drunk to be recording. Because, you know, I want all my bottom teeth to be silver. I'm sick of these, enamel? Human ivory? Done with it. Point is, shouldn't be recording that drunk. Chapter 10.
What is it? Marty, what's wrong? I shrieked. I just died in your arms tonight.
Oh no, it's just I. He couldn't speak. He could only mutter, I. His eyes bulged, his tongue flopped out. He reached up and pulled a white worm off the top of his head. I got one too. Yuck, I cried. His worm was nearly as long as a
burping. See, I shouldn't be recording.
Shoelace. We both tossed our worms out of the tram. But then I felt a soft, damp plop on my shoulder, and then a cold plop on top of my head, and another on my forehead, like a cold slap. As if I was getting jizzed on by a yeti. Oh, help! I moaned. I started thrashing my arms, grabbing at the worms, struggling to pull them off me. Marty, please! I turned to him for help, but he was battling them too, twisting and ducking, trying to dodge, as more and more white worms fell from the ceilings like a giant semen. I saw one fall on his shoulder. I saw another one begin to wrap itself around his ear. As fast as I could, I pulled the sticky, wet creatures off of me and tossed them over the side of the slow-rolling tram. Where were they coming from? I wondered. I glanced up, and a fat, wet one fell over my eyes. Ow, skeet, 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 motherfucker. That was the Yeti's voice. Because the Yeti is like a Sam Squanch, but he's in places where it's cold. And see, the cold giant worms were his semen, where each worm, the size of a shoelace, was actually his cum. That was my joke. Yow! I let out a shriek, grabbed it, and flung it away. The tram turned sharply, sending us both sliding over the seat. The cave narrowed again as we entered a different tunnel. The silvery light glowed dimly around us as we bounced forward. By the way, it just hit me that someone sent me a message on the old facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps that was clearly not of voting age and probably in junior high. And they're like, I love your podcast. I go to sleep listening to them. And I'm like, I was just talking about how Yeti semen is just a bunch of giant shoelace-sized fucking pieces of sperm. God damn it. I'm terrible. People don't really have sex, and masturbation's not real. Two white worms, each at least a foot long, wriggled across my lap. I tugged them off and heaved them over the tram. Tugging them off is not going to stop the white worms from coming. It's just going to make them come harder. Breathing hard, I searched for more. My whole body itched. The back of my neck tingled. I couldn't stop shaking. They stopped falling, Marty announced in a shaky voice. Then why did I still itch? I rubbed the back of my neck. I stood up and searched the seat, then the floor. I found one last worm climbing over my shoe. I kicked it away, then dropped back onto the seat with a loud sigh as Dune drank water. That was totally gross, I wailed. Marty scratched his chest, then rubbed his face with both hands. I guess that's why they call it the Cave of the Living Creeps, he said. He swept a hand back through his hair. I shivered. I couldn't stop itching. I knew the worms were gone, but I could still feel them. That was weird. The disgusting white worms. Do you think they were alive? Marty shook his head. Of course not. They were fakes, he snickered. I guess they fooled you, huh? They sure felt real, I replied. And the way they wriggled around. They were robots or something, Marty said. Really? That's your excuse? I don't understand it. Robots? Maybe? Fucking don't ask me. How do you explain Noah's Ark? That doesn't make any sense. Fucking robots, idiot, Marty said, scratching his knees. Everything here is fake. It has to be. Let me touch your boobs to verify. I'm not so sure, and I don't want you touching nothing, I said. My whole body's still itchy and tingling, especially my nipples. Well, just ask your father, Marty replied glumly. I had to laugh. I knew why Marty was suddenly so grouchy. Whether the worms were real or fake, they had scared him. And he knew that I knew that he had been frightened. I don't think little kids will like the worms, Marty said. I think they'll get too scared. I'm gonna tell your dad. I started to reply and felt something drop over me. Something scratchy and dry. It covered my face, my shoulders, my entire body. I shot both hands up and tried to push away. It's some kind of net, I thought. I grabbed at it, desperate to get it off my face. As I struggled, I turned and saw Marty squirming and batting his arms, caught under the same net. The tram bounced through the dim cave tunnel. The sticky net felt like cotton candy on my skin. Do I want to drink booze? Or do I want to drink water? Water to clear up my throat. Booze to clear up my brain. The sticky net felt like cotton candy on my skin. Marty let out a yelp. I found this place to be undesirable. That's a yelp. It's a big spider web, he stammered. I tugged and grabbed and pulled. But the sticky threads clung to my face, my arms, and my clothes. Yuck, this is gross, I choked out. And then I saw the black dots scurrying through the net. It took me a few seconds to realize what they were. They're spiders, idiots. Hundreds of them, idiots. Oh! A low moan escaped my throat. I batted the spider web with both hands. I rubbed my cheeks frantically, trying to scrape away the thick, sticky threads. I pulled a spider off my forehead, another one off the shoulder of my t-shirt, and one off my taint. The spiders, they're in my hair! Marty wailed as if he was having a bad trip. He suddenly forgot about acting cool. He began raking his hair with both hands, slapping himself in the head, pinching and swiping at the spiders. As the tram rolled silently on, we both twisted and squirmed, struggling to flick away the black spiders. I pulled three of them out of my hair. Then I felt one climb into my nose as if I was snorting the devil's cocaine. I opened my mouth in a horrified scream and sneezed out. Marty plucked a spider off my neck and sent it soaring through the air. The last spider I couldn't see or feel anymore. We both dropped down into the seat, breathing hard. My heart pounded in my chest. Still think everything's fake? I asked Marty, my voice weak and small. Speaking of the devil's cocaine, you can hit me up at Patreon, Dune, you know? It makes me record shows much, much quicker. I don't know, I replied softly. The spiders could be puppets, maybe, you know, radio controlled. They were real, I cried sharply. Face it, Marty, they were real. This is the Cave of Living Creeps, and they were living. Marty's eyes grew wide as if he weren't Asian. You really think so? I nodded. They had to be real spiders. A smile spread over Marty's face. That is so cool, he declared. Real spiders? That is totally cool. I let out a long sigh and slumped lower in the seat. I didn't think it was cool at all. I thought it was creepy and disgusting, like your uncle. These rides are supposed to be fake. That's what makes them fun. I decided to tell my dad that the worms and spiders were too scary. He should get rid of them before the studio opens to the public. I crossed my arms in front of me and kept my eyes straight ahead, like some sort of bouncer. I wondered what we would run into next. I hoped there weren't any more disgusting insects waiting to fall on us and climb all over our faces and body. Ow! Skeet, 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 skeet. I think I hear the bats, Marty teased. He leaned close to me, grinning. Hear those fluttering sounds? Giant vampire bats. I shoved him back to the side of the seat. I wasn't in the mood for any of this bullshit at all. When do we get out of the cave? I asked impatiently. This isn't any fun. I think it's cool, Marty repeated. I like exploring caves. I'm a real spelunker. Later we learned that he was a passive top and a homosexual. The narrow tunnel opened into a wide cavern. The ceiling appeared to be a mile high. There were giant rocks scattered over the cavern floor. Rocks piled on rocks. Rocks everywhere. If you wanted to know this in rap terms, it's racks on racks on racks. Racks everywhere. But these are rocks. Which, you know, you get racks from selling rocks to people like me. Somewhere ahead of us, I heard water dripping. Plunk. Plunk. Plunk is the onomatopoeia that R.L. Stein wanted to use for water. Eerie green light glowed from the cave walls. The tram pulled up to the back of the wall and then stopped. Now what? I whispered. Marty and I turned in our seat, letting our eyes explore the huge cavern. Not as huge as your mom's vagina! She's a whore! Damn, Dune rules! All I could see were rocks, smooth rocks. Some round, some square. Plunk, 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 water dripped somewhere to our right. The air felt cold and damp. This is kind of boring, Marty murmured. When do we get going? I shrugged. I don't know. Why did we stop here? It's just a big empty cave, like the movie Cavernous. Cavernous? Wow.
I was thinking of the movie The Descent, and then my mind was like, maybe it's the movie Ravenous, where the people eat each other. Then I went Cavern. It's terrible. I meant the movie Descent, which is fantastic. If you know nothing about it, watch it right now. But if you know about it, don't watch it, because it spoils it. But goddamn, I went into that not knowing anything, and it was fantastic. Anyway, we waited for the tram to back up and take us out of this bitch, and waited. A minute went by. Then another few minutes, we both turned around and got up on our knees, peering to the back of the tram. Nothing moved. We listened to the steady drip of water echoing off the high stone walls. No other sound. Leaning forward against the seat back, I cupped my hands around my mouth and shouted, "Hey, can anyone hear us?" I waited, listening. No reply. "Can anybody hear us?" I tried again. "I think we're stuck." No reply. Just the steady drip, drip, drip. I waited, squinting hard into the glow of green light. Why wouldn't the tram get moving? Had it broken down? Were we really stuck in here? I turned to Marty. "What's up with this tram? Do you think we're hey?" I gasped as I stared at the empty seat beside me. I reached both hands out. I grabbed for Marty. Another lighting trick? Another optical illusion? "Marty! Hey! Marty!" I croaked. A cold shiver rolled down my back. This time, Marty was really gone. And so concludes part one of A Shocker on Shock Street on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm Dune. This is Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm going to edit this and put it up tonight. I'm not going to Photoshop a picture because I'm tired and drunk and don't want to do that. I'm glad you're listening. I'm sorry it was so long between recordings. You should give me money because, No, you shouldn't give me money. You should hire me at some sort of job where I make at least six figures. Because if not, I'm starting my daiquiri shop. And that's what I'm going to do for a living. But I won't have time to record this. Anyway, I'm Dune. You can reach me where you can reach me. I'll start the next episode with that. I say that, but I don't know what I'm going to do in the next episode. But you know where to reach me. You can listen to old ones. Anyway, what you can do until then is... You guys know. It's... Stay spooky, bitches.